Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the All In Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eli Cooper, joined by my other co-host, Mike Badzik. How's it going, Mike?
It's going good, man. Another episode. What's up?
Another day, another dollar.
Yep.
And as you guys can see, we have third time on the pod, Sean Turner, and back-to-back episodes.
Yeah,
you. Back-to-back episodes,
dang,
man.
Dang.
Like it's 96, 97.
Okay. You know.
And we have a first-time guest, our guy, Dan Thiel. Dan, how's it going?
Oh, well, I appreciate the invite on the pod. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on. So Dan is specifically here to talk some football with us today, real football. And that's what we're going to get into. We're going to talk about a lot of Premier League topics. Can Liverpool break the points record? And are they favorites for next year? We're going to talk about the top five chase that it is now with Manchester City's possible UCL ban. We're going to talk about Chelsea a little bit. Shout out to Dan with the Chelsea jersey on. And also some big signings that they made. Then we're going to get into a Tottenham versus United preview. They play on Friday. And then get into the UCL final predictions, things like that, with his possible return coming around. So, but first, before we get into it, we're going to run a poll on Twitter about who has the better soccer jersey on the pod today. So go ahead, Dan, show us your jersey and explain what you got on.
So this is one of my favorite shirts that I own. I have about 35 Chelsea shirts, and I picked this one out special for the pod. So this is a 2000-2001 Chelsea away shirt. You can see the old school Premier League sleeve patches. And on the back, see Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who was the Golden Boot winner of the Premier League that season. So it's a very special shirt. Scored a lot of goals wearing it. And I wish I could say it was match worn, but it's not. It's just purchased on eBay.
Yeah. Listen, that's throwback level stuff. So you guys see why we have Dan on the show today? This is why we have Dan on the show. He has an extensive soccer background. So I am trying to compete here. I don't know how well you guys can see it. I got a Ronaldo 2017 Real Madrid jersey on. You know, better player, but I don't know. It's like quite.
I don't know. That Chelsea, that's tough. That's a throwback too, man.
The Chelsea kit is legendary, though, so I'll defer here. But vote for me on the Twitter poll, please.
Ronaldo didn't win the Premier League Golden Boot that year, so.
No, he didn't. We're talking Premier League today.
Then, Sean, why don't you show us your trio back there on the wall?
My lovely wall art. So I know last time y'all ain't had no wall art, so I got y'all something to cover up this blank wall. So that's the squad. You already know this is the squad. And that's my man, Dybala. Put your mask on. That's how we do it right here. Then we got a throwback from my man Zidane.
Yeah.
Deuce one. And then, because my man Dan is on the pod today, I'm also a fan of the guy William at Chelsea Club, so I got him up there too. So technically, I got three jerseys.
Right, so. I don't have in the picture, but I have a Zidane bobblehead. It's you know, a lot of headbutt motions. It's really good. I like that bobblehead.
You got that on your desk?
Yeah, I got that at my desk at work. Yeah. Hey, also Dan, he wrote a really good piece for our website a couple of days ago. If you haven't checked that out yet, allinnetwork.net. Look for his article. It's called "Another Dear White Person Post." Highly recommend reading that for especially white people who aren't quite sure how to handle this moment in our country's history and are looking for maybe a little guidance or maybe just trying to get a feel of where people are at. You should definitely check that out. And we appreciate Dan writing that for us.
Mike, absolutely. I appreciate you willing to share that as well. Something from my heart that I'd written about a little over a week ago and something that just, you know, I just wanted to get my feelings out on paper and, certainly appreciate the platform to be able to share it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Anybody else interested in writing articles for the All In Network? Send us your stuff at all.in.pod24@gmail.com. you know, we'll review it. If it's good enough, we'll throw it up on the website for everyone to see. So thank you again, Dan. And another exciting thing, we're recording this on a Tuesday, which is different than normal. Today is June 16th, which was the debut of the All In with Rain and Bliss podcast. So hopefully you guys saw that on Twitter. We've been promoting it all day. Sean's wifey is the co-host on that show. And honestly, I got to listen to it. I listened to it on Spotify and I watched on YouTube. I mean, I have, right, of course. So I watched on both and listened on both. And it was hilarious. It was so funny. Their commentary and chemistry is so great. It's an excellent show. So if you, for some reason, haven't heard it by the time you hear this podcast, go listen to it. They'll probably have another one coming out later on this week. I think, Wednesday is when they release?
I think they were shooting for Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. So by the time you guys hear this, you will have also heard their second episode, I believe. So we'll see. Let's get into some football.
Wait, real quick. I'm good. Yep. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Eli? How are you doing, Dan?
I'm sorry. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm just
We just talked to Dan for like 5 minutes, man.
I know, but I wasn't there yet. All right, so I'm good. Glad to hear Dan is good. Go ahead, Eli. Go ahead.
Happy you're good, Sean. Happy everyone can rest assured that you're still doing good from the 2 days ago when they heard you last. Thank you.
Hey, yeah. Thank you. I need to be checked up on too, man.
Yep, you do.
We'd check up on you more if you joined the network, but we'll get to that.
All right. One day.
So, can Liverpool break the points record? Because I think it's all set in stone, right, that they're going to win the Premier League. Mm-hmm. That's not even a question. Question is, can they break the points record? Dan, we'll let you start. What do you think?
Absolutely, if they want to. Now, they're going to wrap up the Premier League possibly as early as this weekend if they can get some results from Man City. If Man City drops any points, they could win this weekend, wrap it up no later than next weekend if they just get the W's that we're expecting. Mm-hmm. So if you think about Liverpool, what other things they have going on in the season? They're out of the FA Cup. They're out of the Champions League. They really have nothing else to play for. So if they want to go for it, they can do it. Whereas other teams don't have that luxury. Liverpool's really in a place where they can just win every game in front of them. They don't have to worry about, you know, wearing their team out for other competitions. So, yes, it can happen. But I also have to consider this is a really weird season. And, you know, the circumstances are, you know, strange where we really don't know when next season's going to start and how long of a break after the end of the season they're going to get. So if I'm Klopp, I'm also thinking as great as that would be to get the record, I'm also thinking about how can I keep my big guns fresh and give them some more rest for next year and get that off to a bang.
I agree. Yeah, like that's the big question. And I think that Klopp probably is going to lean on the side of let's go for it because they didn't get the Champions League result that they wanted. And I think that they were, you know, the way they view themselves, I think they were shooting for that sweep. You know, obviously the Premier League was the number one goal because of the history they have and they won the Champions League last year. But if they could have got the sweep, the FA Cup and everything, I think that's what originally they wanted. Well, now that you don't have that opportunity, I think maybe you look at it and you say, well, let's make history another way. Let's break the points record, a record held by United. So it probably would mean a little bit more for them. So I'm cheering against it even more. But, you know, and they've got 9 games to get 19 points. So essentially they need no less than 5 wins there. Maybe 5 wins and 4 draws. I can't see any way they drop points in 4 games, even if they're not going for it. And the other thing that I think will help them in this, even if they are kind of resting their big guys, the new rule with this is they're going to be allowed 5 subs. So even if you're not starting Mo and Mane, well, you know, 60th minute, 65th minute, let's bring them off the bench, see if we can't steal a win here in a game that otherwise would have looked like a draw. So the depth that they have, and I think that rule is actually going to be very unfair in a way to the smaller clubs who don't have the depth of the Liverpools, the City, even United and Chelsea. you know, they just have the bigger guns with the bigger payrolls. So I think that that helps them as well here. I don't see any way they don't break it unless, like Dan said, they just simply just don't want to and aren't going to put in the effort for it.
What do you think, Sean?
I'm kind of on that same side. For Liverpool, they pretty much got the title wrapped up. So I think it's more about if Klopp wants to rest those guys. And even with that, he got guys like Minamino coming off of the bench. You know, maybe you start him a couple of those games. And then, like Mike said, like maybe this is going to turn out to a draw. Maybe bring Mane or one of the big guys that you have on your bench in the game. Maybe still a point. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's the side I'm leaning towards. I think they go for it. I don't see a reason not to. You got bounced from the champions. That was unfortunate. But I think they should go for it. That's what
I don't think that was unfortunate. I was happy to see that.
It is unfortunate when you get top in the Prem and you're on top of the world and then you get put out by 11 guys sitting back on the ball. That's disappointing, yeah. But
that's football, man. That's football.
Yeah,
and then Atletico's president said that they deserve to win the UCL if it didn't continue because they beat the defending champs. I'm like, come on, dude. That's not how.
Can't fault them for trying, though.
respect the shot, Kobe, but no.
You shoot from full court on that one, bro.
Yep.
Yeah.
I definitely think they go for it. But it's similar to City. That previous year when they were in the champions and then they had guys like Leroy out resting and then they dropped a couple of points. But then, obviously, they got bounced from champions. Then they put their guys in the game. They went and won the title. So, I think they go for it. But kind of similar situation.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it unanimous. Like, what else is there to do for them? You know what I mean? There's not many other options that they have. And honestly, if they take care of business early enough, they can still rest guys, you know, towards the end there because with the last couple of games that they'll have left. Because you said it's 19 points in 9 games, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep. You know, they win 7 straight, which they're more than capable of doing. You have 2 full games to put every youngster you possibly have while also already breaking the record. So, you know, I don't see why not. There's no reason for them not to. There's nothing that they have to hold back for. Doesn't really make sense for them not to go for it. And Klopp doesn't seem like the kind of guy either who take his foot off the gas with 9 whole games left. I think that's a lot of games to rest guys, you know what I mean, even considering next year. I think he still would want those guys to play in at least 5 or 6 games, which, you know, is going to be good enough for them to get the job done. So, all right, so we're all on the same page there.
And City, and Sean bringing up City is kind of funny because they're almost in the opposite situation, right? Where they're just going to be full blown at the Champions League because one, this is the competition that they haven't been able to perform well in, and this year they seems like they have a chance, at least as good a chance as anybody right now, I would say. And you know, they got the ban, right? So the next 2 years, assuming that the court upholds the decision, which I think they will, they're not going to be in the Champions League. This is really their last go around. So I think that they're going to be kind of the opposite, where yeah. I wouldn't be surprised in – so I think City and Liverpool play in 3 match days from this weekend. You could see a U23 Man City side against the top Liverpool side. You know, it's interesting. It could get ugly, and it's interesting how it almost flips from last season where City's resting guys in champions because they want to get this Prem title. And now they're in a position where, well, who cares about the Prem? It's all about getting this one champions title.
Another thing, to consider there is that City is not only needing to prepare for the Champions League, which will likely take place in August, but they're in the middle of the FA Cup still. Mm-hmm. And those matches will be sprinkled into the remainder of the Premier League season. So, you know, if it's a matter of them playing 2 matches in a week, well, the match before the FA Cup match and then possibly the match after, they're most likely going to rest those players.
Yeah, which is interesting, you know, because every year we watch the FA Cup and, you know, especially the last couple of years when we have the bigger clubs in the FA Cup, we always complain because they aren't playing their best guys, right? Like think of the FA Cup last year and you had even Chelsea and Liverpool and they were, you know, not putting the full squads out there. And then this year, City is going to come. I think a lot of teams, I think that'll be the story for the FA Cup this year. You might get some of the best competition just because the Premier League is decided in a way. You know, the top five is going to be a big competition, but as far as the title, that's kind of decided. A lot of teams in the, you know, the relegation zone, I think two of the three spots are pretty much solidified. You know, could have some wiggle room there, but I think the FA Cup is going to be interesting.
Great. Sure. So, you know, speaking of the top five, you know, with the Manchester City ban, you know, it opens up that additional Champions League spot possibly for next year because of Man City's possible 2-year ban, which opens the door for Man United, who is currently sitting in fifth. So for the record, top five is Liverpool, Manchester City is sitting in second, but that'll end up being voided. And then you have Leicester, Chelsea, Man U, and then in the hunt is Wolves, Southampton, Tottenham, and Arsenal is a distant nine.
But Sheffield, not Southampton, Sheffield.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sheffield United is the seventh seed there. And Arsenal, mathematically, obviously still in it, all the way back at nine. So let's talk about some predictions. Who do we think is going to end up in that fifth spot, assuming that the appeal against that Man City has is upheld? Sean, we'll let you start it.
You know, hey, man, I think it's pretty obvious who we got in that first spot. I think it's United. United takes that first spot for sure. I think you can just see their players coming together and performing. You got Bruno, who's coming, who's fantastic. You got Rashford, who's actually who got hurt, which you all never want to get hurt, but it actually played out in his favor because the league was suspended. So you got him coming back, Rashford finding his footing, and then Pogba, who's probably going to be all over the pitch, honestly, now that he has probably a little bit more wiggle room to maybe get back a little bit more because you have Bruno at that 10 spot is where I think they'll play him. So I'm Man U all the way. I don't even think it's a debate.
What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not even – as a Chelsea supporter, I'm not even so sure that Man United can't pass Chelsea. Man United's fixtures the rest of the way are looking really, compared to the other teams, very easy. They can go on a real run if it clicks. I think that's the question. Pogba coming into the team. Rashford up top. Where does Martial fit in? He was kind of playing in the nine role before – when Rashford was out. So how does that kind of play in with Bruno being a creator there? So there's a lot of, you know, it's almost like it's a really good team on paper, and we'll have to see how it actually plays out. But if they do click and it gels, I mean, they could go as high as three, the way those fixtures kind of play out the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's United for me. Yeah, it's obviously United for me. And I agree with Dan. I think they have a really good chance of passing Chelsea. Now, they do have a lot of question marks. As well as they were playing, you know, they were really getting hot before the break, right? It seemed like they had finally figured something out. Are they going to figure something out? Bruno coming on obviously was a huge help. But it seemed like they had figured something out. And now they're going to be, you know, they have the long break. They're getting guys back, Rashford, Pogba, who – you know, it's almost like you forgot he was even on the team for a while there, but he's still there. We'll see what kind of role he plays with Bruno there.
That world champ.
Yeah. I like United a lot. You know, I think Chelsea hangs on to their spot. LC is the one that scares me more than either of those two. And they have a little bit of a cushion here. You know, they're up 5 points on Chelsea and they're up 8 points on the last spot, but it hasn't been great of late. You know, they have found good defenders, but it seems like there are teams who are going to push them. I think Chelsea and United both have a higher, you know, they can kind of get forward a little bit better when they need to. You know, sometimes you just worry about them. I think that Wolves aren't done yet either. You know, look at their lineup. You know, really, if you looked at Wolves' lineup and LC's lineup, I think the Wolves fans are probably thinking to themselves, we could have done this. You know, we had a real shot here to make top four, or I guess five this year. and especially with City not occupying a spot in the Champions League, there's a lot of teams who are looking at this year and saying, you know, really it's now or never. This is our year. Let's make this push. You know, LC, if they drop, that's bad. That's a disappointing season. You know, you normally, I think you come into a year and you say, well, if we make Europa League, that's a pretty successful season for a team like Leicester City or a team like Wolves. But this year they're looking at Champions League and they're saying it's on the table for us. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's tough with the five subs, you know, like Sheffield's right there too. And, you know, we could do 20 minutes on how Sheffield is as high as they are in the season they've had, right? It's pretty unbelievable. Right. Parking the bus. Yeah. You know, but hey, seventh in the table this far in, that's impressive coming from the Championship last year. They're not going to have the firepower. I can't see that, you know, but they're in the same spot as Wolves and they're only two points back of that final shot spot. So that's the thing I'm most excited about the Premier League is to see the top five race shape out. Probably my prediction would be, you know, Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea, United, maybe United and Chelsea flip, or one of them jumps over Leicester. That'd probably be the prediction. But I would not be surprised at all if Wolves were able to make a push.
Yeah, all season I've been writing off Wolves because they've been playing in the Europa League. And I just thought mm-hmm. it's a matter of time. This team isn't going to be deep enough where they can play, you know, a match out in, you know, Azerbaijan out on a Thursday and come home right. on a Sunday. You know, I just figured throughout the season it was just going to fall off at some point. They have impressed me so much. I love their manager. Yeah, I think without having the Europa distraction for the remainder of the season, if that picks up, it wouldn't be until August. Mm-hmm. You know, they can just focus on the league. And they also, similar to Man United, have a really nice fixture list coming up that they can go on a nice winning streak. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think Leicester, they were falling off right before the break. They had started to get a little leaky on defense. Vardy was hitting a rough patch. And, yeah, I could see that kind of falling apart. If there is going to be a drop out of that top group, I'm guessing Leicester.
And Wolves, you know, it's when the season started, it looked like they were going to be fatigued from the Europa and it looked like it wasn't going to work out. And that's actually a bigger problem that happens a lot of times to these clubs. The Burnley boss had an interview with the Guardian recently and he kind of was like, we don't want to make the Europa League. We can't handle the Europa League. We're going to be fine. We can't fly all over Europe and still compete in the Premier League. We'll get relegated, right? So he's like, we want to be 10th and stay 10th. A lot of these clubs have that mentality. It's just stay up, but don't get too high. And, you know, for a team like Wolves, it looked like in the beginning of the year that they might struggle and they might fall off. The first three matches they were able to draw. They got their ass kicked by Chelsea, I believe. And they lost the first game of the year. But, hey, I think they have star power, and I like their coach a lot too. So I've been really impressed with how they've been able to hang in there, and I think they have a shot.
Yeah, Wolves is scary. Adama is, you know, a force, man. He makes things happen. So if I was Man U, that'd be the team I'd be most worried about, which is crazy to think because, like, Arsenal and Tottenham are only 4 and 5 points back.
We haven't even mentioned them.
And we haven't even talked about them because no one has any faith that they're going to catch up on this point. And that's like, that's only a couple of games and no one has any faith that that's going to happen. So, you know, I do think it's a United spot to lose. I'm interested to see how Pogba and Bruno mesh because they both like to get forward, you know, obviously Bruno loves to get forward, but it's going to be interesting to see how they mesh coming back. They didn't have a ton of time to you know, get to play together at all before this pandemic happened. And they're going to try to have to figure it out. But I don't see it being a major problem. Bruno really changed that team. I think with them getting Rashford back healthy for this last stretch, it's going to be huge, man. I think that changes the dynamic because they were playing so well without him just from the addition of Bruno. United looks scary, man. And I'm not even just talking about this year, like what they could possibly do in the transfer market this summer could Sancho. Completely change. Yeah. Like Sancho and some of the other possible signings that they've discussed, like United could actually be back, you know, as early as next year. And like most people probably thought this was a three, 3-year project at best, which it may still be. But like, I think if they get in the Champions League this year, which if you consider the start of their year, would be a huge, it's a huge success if they do get in. And shout out to Man City for the help. But, you know, I think that would be huge for United. They, and especially in the transfer market, like how much easier is it going to be to convince Sancho to come when you're playing Champions League football? How much easier is it going to be to convince Pogba to stay when you're playing Champions League football and you just signed Bruno and you just signed Sancho? You know,
Sancho's going to Chelsea.
It wouldn't make any sense for him to do that. But
I'm so against him going to United, man. I'm so against
him. Why?
They need it. They need
If you're an English boy, come to United, man. Let's talk about some future stuff then. Before we move on, we're going to talk about Chelsea here for a while. Let's do the Liverpool thing. So going forward, then, is this to you, Dan? We'll start with you. Is this to you a dynasty in the works? Do you think they have that kind of potential, or do you think this is 1 or 2 years? Maybe that's it.
Well, dynasties are very difficult in the Premier League. The pressure year over year. I mean, very few teams can do it. You look at the Man Uniteds in the 90s and 2000s. They were able to pull that off, but we really haven't seen it since. So City has won 2 in a row before this season, and that was even a remarkable feat. So, do I think they can win it again? Yes, I do. It will not be without, you know, additional pressure and other teams that are just trying to take over that spot. Now they are the target of everyone, whereas before it was City. But look at their core. You have Trent Alexander-Arnold, just a young player. You know he's going to be there long-term. Robertson on the other side and Van Dijk in the middle. That defensive back, that back line is just a brick wall. And with those attacking wingers, just adds so much offensive firepower. Salah, Mane, Firmino, and they'll probably add some key pieces, you know, possibly in the midfield there. And wow, it's a complete team. I don't see how they are not the team to beat next year. It will be on Chelsea, Man United, City to spend the money over the summer to try to even compete with that.
Yeah. To kind of go off that, that's the tough part about with the dynasty. Yes, I think they are close to that, but with guys like Bobby and Salah to bring in other guys that are going to give you some attacking options, where do you play them? Where do they get their time from? So that is going to kind of ramp up the attraction to other teams in the Prem. Mm-hmm. So I think it's tough for them to hold on to that. So, yeah, I know that I just said it's a dynasty, though. I'm going to go with yes. It's just they're too good. Trent is fantastic.
Yeah.
Robertson is amazing. Van Dijk is amazing. You got some veteran midfielders. And that's what I think they'll come in and bring some youth to with those midfielders. And then you have Gomez, who's up and coming, who's going to be fantastic. I'm going with yes. Dynasty.
I don't think so. Now, it depends on what you define as a dynasty in football because, like Dan said, it's hard to win the Premier League multiple times. So, like, technically, we're kind of in the middle of it, right? Like, if we count, like, Champions League winners last year, Premier League winners this year, I think we're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Here's why I don't see us really – go ahead.
So, what I'm saying is if they grab a trophy and one of the important trophies for maybe 5-6 years, is that a dynasty? Maybe it's not both the Prem – and the champions, but what if they grab one of each every year?
For 6 years,
around 5 or 6 years.
That's unbelievable. Right. But I don't think that's going to happen. Is essentially what I'm saying because they've already won champions. They've already won Premier League. It'd be very tough for them to win Premier League or champions again next year. And Mane, Firmino, Van Dijk and Salah, their four best players are all 28 years old already.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mane has been courted by some big clubs, no other than Los Blancos. But, you know,
they courted.
Is that in case you can't get Mbappe? Because he doesn't want
right,
to come.
He's a fallback play if we don't get Kai. But Kai's coming. We just don't know when. But anyway. So, you know, we don't know how Almani is going to be in Liverpool because, I mean, Real Madrid is not the only club that's been courting him. A lot of other big clubs are interested in him because I think he's the most talented of the front three. No disrespect to Salah, but, you know, so who knows if that front three even stays together. And then if they do, I think they have a 2 to 3 year window at best, you know, because who knows what they'll be into their 30s. And then with United coming up, you know, Chelsea's coming up. Chelsea has good young talent. You know, there's other Premier League teams that are on the rise. I think City's actually going to be declining with this Champions League ban. They'll probably end up selling a lot of their better players, things like that. So I think we're going to see a shift. It's going to go from, you know, a Liverpool Man City stronghold to possibly Chelsea United.
Look at Dan. Dan's so happy.
You know what I mean? So.
Why are you saying Chelsea? You're just saying Chelsea to make him happy.
No, I mean, look at what they have. They got Timo Werner coming in.
Timo Werner.
We might as well transition to Chelsea now.
Well, wait. Let me give my 2 cents on Liverpool then, because I do not think that they're going to be a dynasty either. Because, well, first of all, screw Liverpool. But second of all, if you look at their – so, I don't know if this matters or not, but their ownership group, I don't know if you know this, is Fenway Sports Group, which is the people that own the Boston Red Sox.
Well, can't stand Boston.
Can't stand Boston. And they kind of have a tendency where whenever they win, they take the foot off the gas and they try to save a dollar. So if you look at what Boston did when they won their last World Series in 2018, and then the next year they're like, well, Mookie Betts, like, go ahead. You have Dodgers. You can have Mookie Betts. We'll give them away for not much, maybe like 25 cents on the dollar. We'll give them away. So and the thought is, well, we won the championship. We're going to have all this revenue coming in. They really run it like a strict business model, not so much of let's do this. So with that being said, what I'm saying is, if Liverpool wins it this year, they won the Champions League the year before, if a team does swoop in for Mane, maybe Salah, you know, Salah has been linked to Spanish clubs a lot. I think guys from Africa have a tendency to want to play in Spain, and guys in South America too have that same tendency. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they said, yeah, okay, right price, take them, we'll regroup, we've got our championships, I'm fine with that. So that's another thing that I think could play a factor, but we can talk about Chelsea.
Yeah. So, you know, Chelsea.
I have to bring baseball into it a little bit. I don't get to talk baseball much.
So Chelsea, of course, have Timo, you know, coming in. He actually withdrew from Leipzig's Champions League roster in order to join Chelsea in July. They've got
that is rumored.
What was that?
That is rumored. I seen somebody from Leipzig that says the deal isn't done just yet.
Okay.
If we do step one, then we'll go to step two. But he said as of now, his plans are to keep him in that squad. Do I see him playing in that squad when he's preparing for that move? I don't think so. So yeah. I think it's highly likely. But
right. So that deal is practically done. Yeah. I believe Ziyech was another transfer that they already had agreed on coming in. They still have Pulisic coming back off of injury. Hudson-Odoi is picking up steam.
Hudson-Odoi got cleared from his rape allegation.
As I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great news.
Got cleared. So, good news for Chelsea fans. You still got Mason Mount, young up-and-coming player. So, you know, how good is this Chelsea team? Let's talk about them for now, and then even looking forward, we'll let the resident Chelsea fan get the first crack at it. Go ahead, Dan.
It's almost scary to think of all these young players. I think the transfer ban that they had to go through over the last summer ended up doing them a world of good. They were in no place to win the league this year. So, you know, kind of consider that a lost season in a season that they, you know, had to bring in some of the younger players like Tammy Abraham, Tomori on defense, Mason Mount, Reece James. And these guys wouldn't have had a chance if that transfer window was open. So that really helped them just build and develop the young squad. You also, I want to also mention a player that I expect to be a real dynamic player in the midfield would be Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He's coming back from an injury. Sean and I saw him go down with an Achilles injury last year in Boston. Yeah, and it's been a long road back, but he's coming. And
he looks good too.
Yeah, and he's one of England's young stars. And yeah. he'll be a star. He'll be a feature in that lineup most weeks. And you know, they have such a deep team, which is a luxury that I don't really recall them having over the last 10 years or so. You know, if you think about some of the teams that ended up winning titles, it was the same lineup that they roll out every week. And you could just, you know, you can mark it down who was going to be starting those matches. Eden Hazard was the man who would score all the goals, or Diego Costa. Now they have so many options for goal scorers and guys that will come in off the bench. It kind of reminds me of City and how deep that they've become. And you know, you hear a lot about the Pep rotation, where every week he could just bring out a new lineup and, you know, it could be effective. I think Frank Lampard will have that at his disposal starting next season. Mm-hmm. The only problem is I don't expect Chelsea to be as good as City is right away, because a lot of these guys are still young and it still has to gel. They're still developing. So I think, you know, next year the step up would be, you know, hey, can you be within shouting distance of the title? I'm not expecting it next year. And then the season after that, then that will be the window to really go for it.
You think Pulisic is the long-term answer at wing? Do you think he'll end up winning that spot long-term?
You know what? I might get a lot of hate mail for this. I don't think he will be a week-in, week-out starter. He will start some matches. He'll come off the bench in some. They're just so deep on the wings now. You have Callum Hudson-Odoi that's going to need the playing time. Ziyech that's going to need the playing time. So many options. Willian, unfortunately, he's going to be probably leaving this year. Pedro will be on his way out.
I heard United.
Yep, maybe. So regardless of how good Pulisic is, he's got competition. And, you know, certainly if he is like a Eden Hazard level talent, sure, you can't take him out of the lineup. I don't think he's ever going to be at that level of superstardom.
Yeah. It pains me every time that I see them bring in an attacker, because I want only great things for Pulisic. I'm a big fan of his. But it's just, like you said, there's so much competition. The Ziyech signing kind of did him in, because now, like, Ziyech can also play the right, but he can also go cam. But then Mason Mount can also go out and play on the left and play that 10 role as well. So it's going to be tough for him to find minutes, you know. So
and can I add one thing, too? The Werner signing, I think, will be really interesting in how that ends up – he ends up linking up with Tammy Abraham. Because I think Tammy Abraham will still be the central striker, and Werner can either kind of play the Aubameyang role, where he's off to the side and kind of create space, or he could play more of an attacking number 10. And so that will be really interesting to see how those two link up. I don't think they're gonna take Tammy out of the lineup as you know the central striker though. So that's just another player that most likely will be on the pitch and take playing time away from the wingers, like, you know, the rotation of wingers that they have.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask. So you don't think Werner stunts the growth of Tammy Abraham? You think they're going to coexist they're going to play a lot together?
I don't think they go in for Werner with the idea that he takes over Abraham. Abraham is a young guy, and they're going to want to invest in him long-term.
And he's good up front. That's exactly, because we talked about it a little bit ago, Coop. And I was thinking that Werner, he might even play out wide at times. So I was like, that's one, a lot of competition for Pulisic. But I didn't think, after I thought about it a little bit, I was like, I don't think they're going to take Tammy out. He's young. He's good up front. Tall, strong with the ball. I think they play both of them, and I think they complement each other. Obviously, I think Ziyech is going to be lovely on the pitch. He is just – his touch is just so smooth. Yeah. Why is he so smooth on the ball?
I love this game.
That was crazy. And really, you could make the argument of all these young guys that we've listed here, and Dan listed that Chelsea has going forward. I think Tammy's the one who excited you the most probably this year. You know, coming into this year, we didn't know if he was going to be starting. He was battling with Batshuayi, and Giroux was getting a lot of the time. And Giroux still came in and did some good things. You know, he doesn't score at the clip he used to, but he still holds the ball up nice and can create space for others. So, but Tammy, his ability, especially of late, to come in and score has been just unreal for them. And I think that's one of the most promising things. You know, the year started out really bad. I don't know if you remember this, Dan, but they lost 4-0 to United in the first game of the year. I don't know if you remember that. But that
had some bad nightmares after that. Yeah.
But Frank Lampard, to his credit, really has done a nice job with that group to be where they are now, fourth in the table, looking at a Champions League spot with this young group after a transfer ban. It is really impressive. I also am a guy who cheers for Pulisic and wants the best for him. I think maybe he goes somewhere else. Because I don't think, you know, he came in, he was okay. You know, he didn't do anything spectacular, but I think he had moments where you could see him being a potential starter for maybe a mid-level squad in the Premier League. Maybe he goes back to Germany. You know, I could see him playing well in an Italian football style. So, you know, I don't think it's over for him. It's going to be tough at Chelsea. It's going to be tough sledding with all the guys they have. But I can tell you, as a guy who typically cheers against Chelsea, I'm worried about the young guys they have, right? Mason Mount, he showed the ability to not only play out on the wing, but play that number 10 role, and he did it pretty well. You know, the back line is where a lot of their issues stem. Not the best always back there. Sometimes they get a little sloppy. You know, they give away some easy ones. But you know what? That's, you know, they're one signing away. You know, you said they're not there yet. You know, you're looking for growth here. But I like their direction they're going, and I think that they're going to be in the Champions League next year, and maybe a year or two after that, they're challenging for the title.
I don't like how you came at Italian football like that. Pulisic is going to need to score goals. His technique on the ball is good, but it's not fantastic. So yeah, them big, strong Italian backs is going to put a body on him. He's going to have to score a lot of goals, and that's not happening in the Italian league.
Pretend that Italian league is the same level as the Premier League.
I'm not comparing. I'm talking about the physicality is definitely higher than the Premier League, buddy.
I disagree.
All right, one more point about Chelsea, too, is, you know, Mike, you mentioned that their back line has been a little leaky. I agree. They're probably one or two signings away there from really securing that up. And they have a young guy coming in the midfield, a young Scot named Billy Gilmore. He's 19 years old, I believe, and he's getting compared to Cesc Fabregas already. So, the future is bright with these young guys. And, you know, finally, you know, throughout the Roman Abramovich era, the dialogue has always been, we got this great youth team, but they'll never make it to the you know, top flight team because, you know, we're always signing guys in the transfer windows. And finally, after almost 20 years of Roman's ownership, these young guys are getting in, and it's really the future now. So this is a very exciting time to be a Chelsea supporter.
Yeah, so definitely great times for Chelsea. Now, coming up, the Premier League is returning this week. Actually, as you guys know, we're recording on a Tuesday. So by the time you hear it, it'll be Thursday. And City and Arsenal will have already played the first set of games on the first day back. But Friday, so we're going to do a little preview for Friday's big game of the weekend. Which is Tottenham versus Man United. United, we've talked about recently. So let's talk about this game. They play Friday at 3:15. Obviously a big match as far as getting into that top five, I guess you would call it, to qualify for the Champions League. And honestly, I think it's safe to call this one a must win for Tottenham. So we'll start with the resident United fan in the quad pod today.
Yeah.
Give us your preview of the game and your prediction on what's going to happen.
I think United's going to kick the shit out of them.
But, who could have seen that one coming?
No, but seriously, I mean, we have fared really well against them this year. I think that for some, well, I know why, but, you know, our guys tend to have a bit of an uptick in their step when they're going against Mourinho. Maybe it's because of all the abuse he gave them and all the times that he told the media that it was all their fault, not his. So they seem to step it up against him. I am interested to see how these pieces come together. They're kind of like we talked about. How do we fit Pogba with Bruno? You know, Pogba maybe is going to play more of a defensive midfielder role. I don't know if that's exactly what he wants to be doing. You know, he likes to get forward. So I hope that he's okay with it. I also want to see, you know, Ighalo, when he signed with us, he came in and he's played really well. So, you know, maybe he gets some minutes. I'd like to see that. Rashford being back is huge. Danny James, you know, I really liked him at the beginning of the year. You know, his pace is unreal. He's able to create space really well. And he's also able to deliver a through ball, usually a low one, but it's usually on target. You know, he hasn't scored in a long time. So, you know, the thought is, well, maybe he can, you know, he had a break. He can start scoring again and we can see more out of him. You know, and I will say, as far as back lines go, I think United, you know, the left back spot is a little bit weaker with Shaw back there. But you know what? He's a veteran and he plays his role. But when you talk about Juan Bissaka, the season he's had has been unreal. He's been just a great signing for United. And Maguire, you know, maybe he wasn't worth all of the pounds we gave him, but he's had a really good year and he's been very solid back there. Hasn't given us the goal scoring necessarily that you might have expected after his time elsewhere. But, you know, I think that'll come eventually. It's just a matter of fitting in. And the way kind of that United attacks, you wouldn't expect him to score much anyway because, you know, mostly we're playing off the counters. It's not a lot of set pieces where we're all forward and he's got a real chance to score, even off corners. You know, we don't tend to create a lot of those because a lot of counterattacks and then we either score or we don't, and it's goal kicks and then we're back on defense. So, and Eric Bailly has played really well too, right? So he's came off injury before the break started and he was playing really well. So I'm excited about United. As far as Tottenham goes, they suck. They have been a total disappointment. Total disappointment. And, you know, I don't know that they necessarily should have got rid of Pochettino, but, you know, when you bring in Mourinho, you know, it's tough. And he's
all been burned by him before.
We've all been, yeah, me and you both. We can speak to him. You won more with him than we did, but, you know, it's tough. And the way he kind of interacts now, he has said he's kind of taken, Ndombele, is that how you say that, Dan?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So he's taking him kind of under his wing. Apparently, they've been together during the quarantine, kind of working on things. So maybe they're doing that. Maybe he's just saying that so he has some kind of credibility. I don't know with him. You know, Dele Alli's not going to be playing in this game. He's suspended because of the coronavirus tweet he had that was deemed insensitive. So he's suspended. So, you know, that helps.
I've seen the highlight for that.
Son will be back, right? I think Son will be back. He's finished his service. Apparently, I don't know if you heard anything about this. Apparently, his service time in South Korea, he was like one of the top people. Like, he fared really well. I don't know.
Of course.
That matters. It probably does. It, of course, right? So, it's good to see him back. But I think United is just, and it's technically an away game for United, but, you know, there won't be any fans. So, I think United is going to be able to handle business this time, and we can kind of kiss Tottenham's top five chances goodbye after this one.
What's the scoreline?
Scoreline? 2-0.
2-0. Okay. Sean, what do you think?
I would say Rashford gets one, and Ighalo gets one off the bench.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I just think the Spurs are bad. So that's really where I'm going to start at. Coming off of two losses and a draw, they haven't played very well. I just want to see the Prem back just because it's just so exciting. I want to see Pogba back. He's one of the most emphatic players, I think, in the Prem. So I think United take it too. And I think depending on how well they play together and how well Pogba and Bruno can link up in that midfield, I think that is what is really dependent on how many goals they're going to score or how many goals they get scored on as well, because Pogba ends up too far up, they can't get caught out. Because, like you said, a lot of it is on the counter. So, I think Martial is actually the one that puts one in the back of the net. Yeah. And I think my prediction, I'm going to go with – would you go with, Mike?
2-0. 2-0.
I'm going to take 1-0. I'll go 1-0. That's my prediction. Sure. 1-0 United. The reason why I did that is because I usually come in hot. We're like 3-0, and it's usually not 3-0. So I'm going
to
go.
No.
Martial takes it.
Tottenham is just they're bad to watch offensively. Like, even the games where they've succeeded, like when they beat City, it was like 30% possession. They're outshot by 12, 15 shots. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like they just can't figure it out.
Got one in the net, though.
It's funny you mention that, Mike, because, you know, we talked about the Mourinho – you know, possibility when back on the Mikey and Friends podcast, which seems so long ago, but it was, you know, the pandemic obviously makes everything seem so long ago. But, you know, are they actually better under Mourinho? I don't think you can really say that they are, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't like how they play. I've never liked how Mourinho plays, even especially when he was at United. I mean, United, but when he was at Real Madrid, you know, I've never loved his tactics. I've never loved his attitude. Somehow it's produced results. You know, he has a decent trophy case, but
he told you about his trophies. You better stop playing.
He does.
But it's just, and with the way that football is moving, I think his tactics are outdated, honestly. You know, and I think he's also had very good clubs that he's been able to coach and win at. And Tottenham isn't the kind of club that really suits his style. Like, he's the kind of person, which we talked about before they even hired him, like, he's the kind of person who expects his clubs to open up their checkbooks and get the players that he wants. Like, that's never been Tottenham's thing. You know what I mean? They were hesitant to even give Pochettino, with all the success he had, you know, the players that he wanted. And Ndombele was their record signing, you know, at like 75 mil, and Mourinho's already been complaining about the player. So it's just, I didn't understand the move, still don't understand it. And Tottenham to me looks worse than what they did when they were under Pochettino. But Dan, what do you think about this weekend's game, United versus Tottenham?
Yeah, well, one player that I don't think I've heard yet mentioned is Harry Kane. Is he playing? He is, and it's expected that he will at least be on the bench. He's been out for about 6 months with a leg injury. Mm-hmm. And if he's back, I mean, he's a one man wrecking crew that can be a force to be dealt with. And as much as we're talking about how terrible Tottenham is, he links up very well with Son. And they can be dangerous on the attack. I think they're terrible on defense. And so I think you might end up seeing some goals in this one. And I mentioned it before, you know, with United, as great as their team looks on paper, we just don't know how it's all going to mesh with Pogba back in the fold and with Rashford and Bruno now. These guys are kind of playing together for the first time. And so and Ighalo, if he comes off the bench, it's kind of a new mix. And as great as they were before the break, this is almost like starting a new season. You just don't know going into the first game how everything's going to click. So I'll be the naysayer here. I'm going to say a 2-2 draw, just because I think Kane's got at least a goal in him, and we just don't know how well United's going to click right off the bat. But I do think long term, over the next you know, 9 game weeks, Man United will end up, you know, emerging and go on a winning run.
It is, yeah. Kane coming back is obviously huge, right? And we didn't talk about it. And it's almost funny because, you know, there was a time there where Kane was healthy, and then the games he wasn't playing, it seemed like they were scoring more with Son up top and Lucas more. And people were saying, well, they better without Kane, right? And then he gets hurt, and then everyone's kind of like, oh, yeah, that was stupid, right? Like, of course they're better with Harry Kane. So, yeah, him coming back is huge. It, definitely that's something United's going to have to worry about. So, yeah, I don't think a draw is out of the question at all, though. I think because we all are on United and Tottenham's been so bad, we did kind of make it sound like that it's we made it sound like it's Liverpool versus Aston Villa, but I could see this being a close match, though.
I do too. And I actually agree with Dan. I'm going with a draw too. I don't think there's going to be quite as many goals though, because both of these teams kind of like to get out on the counter. So it's going to be interesting to see who really goes after possession. It'll likely be United that dominates possession, but that hasn't always been, their strong suit. So that'll be interesting to see. So I think it's going to be a little scoring. I think it's going to be 1-1 draw. And I think Tottenham will collapse in other games as far as their race to try to get back into the top five. I think this one's going to be a heated one. It's going to be, very competitive. And I think, I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think Son actually gets the goal for Tottenham. And I think I agree with Sean. I think Martial is going to put one in the back of the net for United. And that'll be
it. I'm going to reevaluate mine after Dan's insight. I did forget about that man, Harry Kane. I'm going to change it to 2-1 United still, though. Still United.
It's funny. I had forgotten about Harry Kane, too, and then I was watching the golf tournament. So PGA Tour came back last weekend, and something they did, they had celebrities kind of introduce all the players. And for Rory McIlroy, the guy who introduced him was Harry Kane. And I was watching it, and Harry Kane popped up on my screen, and I'm like, oh, shit. He's a person. He's alive.
Still alive.
That guy plays football. Yeah. I know him. He said, you're good at something. What is that thing you're good at? You're funny, Mike.
All right. So that wraps it up for that preview. So we can't really talk much about City and Arsenal's game since this pod will debut after that happens. But we can talk about Arsenal. One of the big things that they have coming up this offseason is the possible loss of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Arteta came out the other day and stated that he believes that they would be able to sign him long-term. My question is, one, should they? Two, will they?
What you we'll think? Do you think Aubameyang should stay?
Should Aubameyang stay? No. I think he deserves better than Arsenal. I'm not 100% sure what other big club he could go to that doesn't already have a good starting striker, but I do think he deserves better than Arsenal, simply because the guy's a goal machine. And I'd love to see him, on a team that actually has a chance to win something, but it is what it is. Can Arsenal sign him? I think they can, because I think he's going to look at his options, and be a little bit hesitant about where else can he really go. And I mean, Arsenal isn't in the worst shape. Like, I don't think they're in as bad a shape as Tottenham, like, I think there's something salvageable there. Yeah. They're pretty bad, but like, you got Pepe came in this year. I think like you do something with the back line and maybe things start to change. I don't know if they'll be keeping Danny Ceballos, what's going to end up happening there after his loan selling. So that could be a potential young piece for them in the future. But I don't know. It's a weird situation, honestly, for both the club and the player, because I think the club's in a rebuild mode and he's pushing 30 if he hasn't hit it already. Not 100% sure how old he is. Yeah, he's 30. Okay, so he's 30 already. So, like, do you really want to sign in long term when your club's in a rebuilding project? Is my thing. They do. Like, they obviously Arteta came out and said it, that they want to re-sign him long term. But like, I don't think he fit the time frame of the project that they have at hand. They don't seem super willing to spend a lot of money to rebuild this team right away. So what would really be the point? And from a club perspective would be my thing. And then also, like, why, if Aubameyang finds a better suitor out there, why would he stay? Like, what would be the motivation there? I don't see, you know, honestly, I think, I don't want to get Mike too riled up here, but I don't see why United wouldn't be a good move for him. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking for a consistent goal scorer. You know what I mean? And you can still play Rashford on the left and bring Martial off the bench. Like, why would he say no to that over Arsenal? It would be my thing. What would be why, if I'm looking at those two teams, this team has way more upside than that, than Arsenal. So it's a tricky situation. Like, I think Aubameyang should absolutely be looking for his best possible options elsewhere. But, you know, Arsenal kind of have to sign him, right? Because what other options do they have?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I'm thinking about what Arsenal – I mean, if he is playing for Arsenal next season, they better at least be in Europa League. I think he deserves to be playing in Europe, you know, European competition somewhere. If it's just a season where it's just Premier League, I would – you know, for a guy who's turning 31, I believe, later this year, I mean – he has never won a domestic or a European trophy. And as we mentioned, he's a great player, a great goal scorer. It would be a shame if he can't find a home somewhere where he can finally get his hands on a trophy. Now, I haven't seen any rumors about this, so this is just kind of be an out of the blue kind of guess here. But he used to play for Klopp at Borussia Dortmund. I'm wondering if there's a possible fit there, they have some, you know, good players in that lineup already, but is it possible that they could work him into that lineup as well as another attacking, you know, midfielder or forward into that lineup?
Yeah, that's actually interesting that you bring up Liverpool, because, you know, one of the guys that they were heavily linked to was the guy who went to Chelsea, right, Werner, and I think everyone was kind of like, well, Liverpool doesn't need him, you know. Well, he's not going to play a lot. But you know, a lot of times we look at these seasons and teams need more depth than we originally realized when the season starts. And a guy like Aubameyang, who like you said, is going to be 31, well, he makes a lot of sense to be a guy who comes off the bench and you know, he isn't starting every game, but he comes in and he can score when you need him to. Now, I think that if – the team that probably makes the most sense is Paris, is PSG, right? He's French. Cavani's probably going to be out of there. Icardi, you know, I think they like Icardi and they want him to be there. But, you know, if they have him and Aubameyang, maybe they figure something out where they can both play or one of them stays or both kind of getting older. So I think that makes sense for him to go back home. I can't see him wanting to stay at Arsenal and continue this losing. You know, it's funny that Eli says, you know, if they could just get the back line, right? Well, we've been saying that about Arsenal. They won their last title in 2004. Every year since then, we've said, if they could just get that back line figured out. If they could just get that one defender. Yeah. That's all they need, right?
But David Luiz was not the answer.
David Luiz was not the answer.
What were they even thinking with that?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we're not going to disrespect David like that. He ain't – he old now. Come on, but he was
– it was bad. It's bad.
He was good. It's yeah, bad. No, come that on. Didn't stop the bleeding. No, it didn't. But I
– the waste
I
of
feel it. I can feel it.
Yeah, I can see – FIFA 2013. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, North London is kind of falling apart here football-wise with Tottenham. Yeah. And Arsenal both just, you know, the futures are looking a little bit bleak. I think Arteta is a good choice there to be the next guy who heads this up in Arsenal. You know, anytime former player and he has good experience from being under Pep, I think that'll help him as well. So I like that, but I think Pepe makes more sense long-term for them. They made a sizable investment into a young guy like that. I'd go with him. I wouldn't be – you know, sounds like Arteta wants to keep Aubameyang. I think a lot of times when coaches come in and they're a new coach, they're like, well, I don't want to lose this guy because if my first two or three years here are really bad, I could be out of a job and not get another one, right? So maybe he wants to keep Aubameyang just to kind of keep them relevant. But I think that the better long-term goal would be to maybe rebuild and try to see what you have in these young guys. And then if it doesn't work out, you go to the transfer market. Arsenal – you know, of all the teams that we talk about in the Premier League, and it's stressful being a United fan, especially of late, and I'm sure Chelsea, it's tough, but man, Could I would be not worse. Want to be an Arsenal fan. I would not want to be an Arsenal fan. But as far as Aubameyang, I think Paris is the one that makes the most sense for him.
I like that take. But cool. You said repair that back line. They signed Pepe for, what is this, maybe close to 80, yeah. 90? They don't want to fix that back line. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to go out here and get goals. They're trying to score. They're trying to outscore people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, if I'm Aubameyang, like, what direction is this club even going in? Because, like, you're not even really spending the money to address the needs that we have to get us going in the right direction. And we're not, like, really rebuilding. Like, I'm the best player at 30, 31. Lacazette is, you know, their second best player, and he's, you know, in his prime over 25. And then Pepe's 23. Ceballos is a young guy. You know what I mean? And then Tierney is kind of young. So it's like Maitland-Niles, you know, they've got like mostly young guys around them other than these two who are like exiting their prime. So there's no like direction of the club. These guys, they're not on the same timeline. Whereas at least with United was like, okay, you know, we'll sell Lukaku and the rest of our up and coming guys are under 23 years old. So like, let's just grow these guys and then we'll mix in Bruno Fernandes who's still pretty young, you know what I mean, and get Sancho, who will grow with these guys as well, possibly in the next market. So, like, at least that looks like a direction, you know what I mean? They look like, okay, the youth movement has started there in United. But it's like Tottenham doesn't look like they know which way they're going, and Arsenal doesn't look like they know which way they're going either. So if I'm Aubameyang, I'm looking for somewhere else. I think one club we haven't talked about, maybe because, like, Lautaro Martinez seems to be headed to Barcelona. Barcelona could be looking for a Luis Suarez replacement, possibly. Mm-hmm. I think Martinez is the better fit, but you know, who knows what happens in the transfer market, right?
Inter said they want to keep. Inter has said they want to keep Martinez now. And they're going to They said they're going to do everything. So I don't know.
Right. So you know, Aubameyang could be a possible. Say, okay, we can't get Lautaro, maybe we focus on Aubameyang or something like that. So, you know, there's some destinations for him for sure, other than Arsenal. So we'll see how that plans out. Let's talk a little bit of Champions League now.
Real quick, I didn't give my Arsenal take because like I said, it looks bad. It does look bad, but they are not that far. And I'm glad you brought up Tierney because Tierney's got that left back spot pretty tightened up. He's good out there. Clueless at the center back spot. David Luiz just is not going to get it done. Spending 90 mil on an attacker, which is fine, but you also have Lacazette. You also have Aubameyang. I also really like what's this young kid's name? Bukayo Saka is very good. So I can see him coming up and then possibly taking that spot. So if I'm Aubameyang, I'm probably looking to get out of there just because a year, and if they lock him up long term, what does he play for besides the Prem? And I don't think they're scratching winning that. So yeah, I'm looking to move if I'm him personally. And I think PSG was a good recommendation. I don't love the Barcelona because he would be coming off the bench. You'd be spending additional money on an older guy that you don't necessarily need. You got like Fati that's coming up who actually scored today as well. So I don't know if they necessarily need him. If I'm going to open up my bank, I'm going to go try to get somebody like Martinez for sure. But I mean, I like, honestly, out of most of the suggestions, I think it's probably PSG, which really strikes me as odd because they were having some financial trouble, it sounds like, with keeping both Mbappe and Neymar. So I'm wondering how that's going to turn out with also adding in the addition of signing Icardi.
They'll just pull some more oil money.
You know what I mean? So
just like City did, and then they'll be banned from the Champions League, just like City is.
Yeah, so that's crazy. It just strikes you that they were going through that, and it's like, nah, we'll sign him for 50 mil. Get in here.
Well, Sean, in fairness, they're going to have a ton of money from the Mbappe sale to Real Madrid.
Oh, God. There he goes. There he goes. They're not going to get him, and then you're also going to be sad when they don't get Mane.
Listen, we've got 200 mil on the table for PSG.
Oh, my. No.
200 mil. Did
Real redo their stadium yet? No, they didn't. Well, so that's what they're going to be buying is a new stadium for everybody that can't go. Exactly. That's what they're saving up for.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, let's get into some Champions League talk. So, obviously, Champions
League. Oh, wait, can I say one more thing about the Premier League before we move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the two games that United played Chelsea, they won 6-0 on aggregate.
Oh, boy. Here he goes. Slide that in there real quick.
Dan, we'll let
you also nipped us in the FA Cup, too. So, or in the League Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
League
Cup, mm-hmm. Not the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Thank you for bringing that up.
It's cool, Dan. It's cool. Eli said Chelsea going to be better than him in a year or two. It's cool. You got one. You still got one.
I didn't say all that. I didn't say all that. But tell him to look at the table, Dan. Anyway.
3 points is all separating us. I'm not trying to get too excited.
So we'll talk a little bit about Champions League, unless anyone else has Premier League stuff to talk about. We'll get to Champions League. I ended abruptly. I think we're still in the middle of the round of 16. Man City and Real Madrid have their second leg to play. Sean's team still has to come back from a 1-0 deficit from Lyon, which is Juventus, by the way. Bayern and Chelsea, which, sorry, Dan, Chelsea has no chance. And then Barcelona and Napoli are tied 1-1 on aggregate heading into the quarterfinals. So let's talk about, you know, possible UCL return. Dan had mentioned that we're looking at probably an August timeline. Have they set that in stone yet? I don't think they.
Latest
I seen on that was I think they had it for May 30th. They rescheduled, and then I seen something about the 17th. Obviously, that's not going to happen just yet. So I didn't see a date. I think it was to be announced, but I did hear that it is going moving from Instaball to Lespin. Yeah. I believe it is at now. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
I believe. Yeah.
The dates that I was seeing was, I think, August 12th through the 23rd, like a 12 day span where they're looking to have the quarterfinals, which will turn into a one leg, semifinals, one leg, and final in like a 12 day period.
Yeah. So be on the lookout. UCL possibly returning. Looks like August is the possible return date. So let's talk about a dream final. So just to also let you guys know, since we went over the teams that still haven't qualified, the teams that have qualified are Leipzig, Atalanta, PSG, and Atletico, all qualified for the quarterfinals. So if you were to pick of the teams remaining a dream final, two teams, Sean, who's your two?
Give them to me again.
So it would end up being Leipzig, Atalanta, PSG, Atletico, either Man City or Real Madrid, Juventus and Lyon, Bayern, Chelsea, or Barcelona, Napoli.
I think you know very well. I'm going to put Juve in there. You know that, right? You know I'm putting them in there.
He's going to say Juve and Atalanta.
Hey, this guy's got to be stopped. All right, UV's in there. UV is definitely in there. And let me see how these groups are separated. So if UV go through, we're probably going to have to play. We got down on this side. Chelsea's getting out of there.
Yeah, Chelsea's done.
That's a tough one. Who would we have to line up against? I mean,
They probably would redraw for the quarterfinals.
Yeah, there's no bracket. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no bracket.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you. So if I had to pick who I think would be the strongest, Juve is going to be in there, and I'm going to have to also go with – okay, this is my – I'm going to go with my bias pick first. So I'm going to put Juve in there. Juve and Bayern.
I knew you were going to say
that. That's going to be my bias pick. Realistically, I think it would probably be Barcelona, and I would say maybe PSG. That would be my
PSG.
I would think, see, I like I PSG, think, but they fold every year in the Champions
League. I know, but I'm it's giving like, them, I'm giving them some hope. I'm hoping they can put it all together.
God, even Barcelona chokes every year.
Something to consider about PSG is that the French league is canceled, so they're not going to have any competitive matches up until August. That's going to be a long layoff for them just to jump in into the next match.
And that could be a negative and a positive because they'll have so much rest. But is it really that good to be out of that level of competition for that long and then hop right into it
from March to August?
Probably going to be even longer because remember they still have to play these other quarterfinal games first. So that's going to take a couple of weeks. They might not be back in play until September, early September, depending on when.
I think they're going to try to knock out the whole Champions League tournament like really quick. Like I think that we're going to be looking at possibly a game a day here, trying to knock it out in like 2-3 weeks, which is awesome because normally we're like. They play leg one, and then a month later they play leg two.
Leg two coming at you. Man, I'm waiting on what day they usually come on, Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesdays.
Man, my day off was on Wednesday. My day off was on Thursday. I said, man, I need to change that. I was like, I can't keep missing these games, man. Man, I'll be waiting a month.
Well, they do that.
If I had to switch them out, because we touched on it earlier, City, because they're gonna be going all out. I think they could end up in that. So if I had to switch PSG out, I'd back myself up with City.
Who do you want to see, Dan? And who do you think we'll see?
Final. Got it.
Say Juve or else.
Yes, Camino.
Yeah. Go ahead. Who do you want to see, and who do you think it would actually be?
Yeah. So my dream matchup, and I'm kind of disappointed that John just said this. I would love to see Man City versus Juventus. So from a Juventus perspective, they have been kind of just the bridesmaid of European competition for so many years. They just can't get over the hump. The last one, I believe, in the mid-90s, and then they had lost in the final like 5 times since then. So for me, I would love to just see them win one. Of course, I'm going to eliminate Chelsea. If I was really being honest, I'd say, yeah, Chelsea's going to have a miraculous comeback and then go on a run. Probably not going to happen. But and then for City, I would love to see them make it and then to the final and then lose it just because I'd love to see Pep just be disappointed. And they're a fun team to watch, though. Even as a hater, I have to respect how they play and how well managed they are and coached they are. So, that would be a matchup I would love to see. As for what I actually think will happen, it's kind of interesting. Those two teams still have to get through the round of 16, so they're not even guaranteed to be into the quarterfinals. I would definitely go with Barcelona and kind of expect them to make it through their round of 16 matchup against Napoli. And I could see them going all the way up through to the final against Bayern Munich, maybe. They've been looking really good lately. I've been watching some of their matches. So I could see Barca-Bayern or Barca-Juventus, depending on how good they look after the restart.
Can I make a proposal? What would be, tactically-wise, fantastic to watch a matchup? City versus Bayern. That's what I would say. Tactically, by how well they're managed, how deep they are, the talent that they have, the back lines that they have. And even with City – swapping Fernandinho out and playing him at that center back spot. They're just so deep. They got a lot of guys that can play a lot of places. If I had to ask myself who I think would be the most fun to watch play each other, would probably be those two. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, for my dream matchup, I think Bayern is in it, and the way that they looked in the Champions League before this break was – they probably were one of the two favorites to make a run at it. They were just, obviously the way that they dismantled Tottenham was just an absolute clinic. And, what they've been able to do in the Bundesliga, how quickly they wrapped that up when it looked like BVB and Leipzig were going to be on their heels. They just, blew them away out of the water. So I think Bayern, I'd like to see them the season they had. Probably who I'd want to see them go up against. It's tough. I mean, I don't – probably PSG. Probably would want to see PSG. I've always kind of liked them. I'm a Neymar guy. Mbappe, obviously, you know, just the way that they can get forward, it would just be fun to watch. I don't see that happening. I do, in my actual prediction, I probably would have Bayern. I probably would be the same as Dan here. I probably would say Bayern and Barcelona. When you look at those two teams, just I don't know who matches up with them. I can't see PSG making it. Obviously, Atleti, if they're able to do like they did against Liverpool, then, yeah, they have a real shot. I can't see it. City is kind of the same boat, and I think City will take care of Real. Sorry, Eli, but they're already up 2-1. So, you know, City, you know, but they fold every year in the Champions League too. They're kind of like PSG. Mm. It's tough to pick these guys to make it when their track history shows that they're not going to. Juve, I don't think Juve's that good. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So I would say Bayern and Barca would be the prediction.
I can't be mad when you say Juve's not that good. We're not that good.
We don't have anybody to score. Dan, does Sarri ball work, Dan?
It works in the Europa League. That's all I can say. Europa
League. Somebody get this guy out of here. We need Allegri back. Which I gotta be bittersweet about it, because if we kept Allegri, he might have tried to get rid of my guy Dybala. So that doesn't make me too happy. But at least he'd be playing like out on the wing and have to learn a new position instead of us being so bad.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So has he been able to smoke on the sidelines?
Yeah.
Is that fun to watch?
I think he chews.
They're not going to let him do that in quarantine. In the coronavirus. What's a coronavirus? They're going to let him smoke on the sidelines?
I don't know. They have a special mask.
Yeah, right.
He's going to have a little side apocalypse.
Like 100 that years old. Smoking a cigarette. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry,
a case wild, study on coronavirus.
Sorry,
so, my dream matchup, I'm going to put Juve in there in my dream matchup. Because I don't have much faith that Madrid will be able to come back on the road against City. So I'm being a little realistic with my dream. I would like to see Juve in it, because I am still a Ronaldo fan. I'd love to see him get another Champions League title. And in that matchup, I'd like to see them go against Bayern. I think Bayern is lethal this year. I think Louis has been the best striker in possible Ballon d'Or for 2020. So I'd love to see, and I'd love to see like a non-Spanish club be in the final, and a non-Premier League club be in the title. You know what I mean? I want to see some different European giants get in there. So that would be fun to watch for me.
You think that would be fun?
I do. I think it would be a good match.
That would not be fun. I think Bayern won that by at least three, bro.
I don't think so, man. Listen, Ronaldo plays his best when the lights are brightest. Show my guy some respect.
Hey, man, I'm rooting for us. I'm just saying the way we set up now with the midfield is tough to see. But hey, I'm on board with you.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Juve of all these teams has the least amount of defensive concern, right?
Yeah.
Like, City's back line is atrocious. You know, they've tried to plug Fernandinho back there, but it hasn't worked. You know, Barcelona's back line is atrocious as far as the way they played. You know, Bayern is solid. I don't think it's not their strong point. They've plugged some of the leaks that they've had, but it's still vulnerable. Whereas Juventus gets a lot of clean sheets. You know, say what you want about Sarri ball. It hasn't produced the goals that I think, you know, it once did back when he was at Napoli. But defensively, you know, Juve has some good, solid veterans, and they've done a great job keeping teams from scoring. And with Ronaldo, you know, Dybala, Higuain up front, you know, if they can somehow figure out how to get those three to mesh, you know, well together, I think they can beat anybody. However, if I'm talking about my realistic final, I unfortunately don't think Juventus is going to be there because – I don't think that front three meshes well enough in order for them. Honestly, I think they need to kind of abandon Ibrahim and find a way to pair Ronaldo and Dybala.
I disagree with that, because that's the – I would say we were waiting for this trident of Dybala, Douglas, Costa, and then Ronaldo, and everybody wanted to see that. And I wanted to see that because I think those are the most exciting players, and Douglas Costa can't stay healthy. But they struggled to score without that true number nine, which is why I was not surprised that we were interested in Icardi. We need that. And that's what Higuain gives us. Dan is going to come in here and hate on Higuain. Go ahead, Dan. I know you got something for him. But Higuain.
How are those Italian buffets? Are they good?
Yeah, they always on. Yo, there was all my man when we made me and Dan went to Boston. They was on Higuain back, bro. They was all types of fat jokes on him. I was like, come on, man, that's my dog.
Oh man.
It was Woody.
I saw a picture of him the other day when he was reporting back to training, and it looked like he's enjoyed his time off.
Looked like he was eating too. I see somebody post a picture, he was on his phone, and then the one picture was him sitting there, the other one was us looking at his phone, and he was ordering DoorDash. That's dragging out. He was ordering DoorDash at the game, man. They're funny. He's fat though.
That's
cool.
He's fat. Yeah, Yubi's got issues they need to work through, and you know, you wonder if Ronaldo being there is best for all parties involved. I don't know. I mean, at this point, you kind of have to look at him and Dybala, and I hate to say you have to pick one, but it hasn't been what they expected anyway. And Dybala certainly hasn't been what they expected coming off of 2018. 2019 was rough for Dybala. 2019 was really rough. And that's part of the reason that Allegri is not there anymore, is because they were hoping someone else can save him and get him back on the path of what he looked like. You know, he's been better this year, but it hasn't been the mesh that they envisioned.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronaldo was kind of carrying them for a little bit. Remember, he had that 10 or 11 game, you know, straight with a goal, and Juve was looking at their best, you know. So when he's fully healthy, he's still their clear-cut guy. Mm-hmm. It's about whether he and Dybala can mesh, whether it's with Higuain or not. And honestly, I think it's going to get to the point where Sarri is just going to need to play them together so much that they have no choice but to figure it out. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. So for that reason, I wouldn't have them in my realistic final. I do have Bayern in my realistic final. I want to see Lewandowski in the Champions League final period. I think he deserves that with the year that he's had. And I think he'll get there. I think he'll get Bayern there. And I think, as much as it kills me to utter these words, there's no other team that I can really picture being there, because I don't trust PSG. So unfortunately, Barcelona.
No way!
Barcelona is going to be the other team there, I think. You know, they have this guy who's pretty good, so you know.
You talking about Griezmann?
Yeah, they have this left-footed guy who's pretty good, so you know it's bound to happen, and
yeah,
you know, and then Bayern will beat them in the final, which I think is more satisfying than them losing, you know, beforehand. Like, I'd love to see Barcelona lose in the final. I think that would be really good for my health. So.
So yeah, three of us. Messi is better than Ronaldo. So yeah, okay, cool. What's up, Mike?
So three of us have Bayern, Barcelona in the final then.
Yeah.
So that's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah. So again,
Atalanta versus Leipzig.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I'd watch that.
Well, if they're doing the one leg thing, right? Like, this is, so they're going to do one leg for each of these rounds. It could happen. It could, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, and I kind of like that. We don't have to do away goal math problems. We can just watch a game and see who wins, right? So
that's interesting. Think the players are going to like that?
No.
I didn't think so.
Probably not the losing player, no.
Yeah.
You say what?
Not the losing players, no. They're going to say, oh, well, we would have won it at home or whatever, won it on the road, whatever.
You
know,
yeah.
Whatever it is, but. All right, so, well, that wraps up.
That's Real Madrid's excuse, huh? That's a tough one.
Yeah, so that wraps up today's show. So thank you, Dan. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you guys coming on to talk some football with us. So, again, anything you guys want to say, closing argument?
Yes. Real quick.
Oh, boy.
Black Lives Matter. Keep talking. Keep having conversations. They are uncomfortable, guys. They are uncomfortable conversations. They have to be had. That's the only way we get progress. That's it. That's all I got.
Respect. Okay. I was expecting something about.
No. I told you I wasn't going to drag it out. I ain't going to drag it out.
Dan, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'll echo that from Sean. I don't want to add anything on top of that because, I mean, that's all that needs to be said. We just need to. The thing that I had written in the article, we need to move from being non-racist to anti-racist. And there are a lot of people that when they view themselves, they're like, oh, I'm not a racist, so therefore I'm good. No, it's on all of us to make a difference and be the change that we need, because by just not doing anything, we're just going to continue being where we are as a nation and as a society. So, the advancement is in being uncomfortable and stepping outside of your comfort zone and your boundaries and having those conversations, being activists for causes that make a difference. It means spending time doing things that you wouldn't expect to be doing otherwise. Like if it was just a normal weekend, that means, you know, taking time out of your own personal time, taking money out of your finances to support a cause. We all need to be a part of this.
Well said, man. Everybody has to be a part of the change that we seek. And it's for the betterment of our country, man. We want, you know, America to be looked at as one of the greatest nations. That can't happen until freedom and justice is being applied to everybody. So, you know, as far as the show goes, again, thank you guys coming on. We appreciate you know, taking your time out to hang out with me and Mike talking some football. Again, this episode is brought to you by the All In Network. And quick reminder for those of you who follow us, make sure you follow us at @all_in_pod on Twitter. Make sure you follow the All In Network on Instagram and Facebook as well. Go check out the debut episode of the Rain and Bliss podcast featuring Crystal and Miranda. Great content there, man. They have some great discussions, truly hilarious and entertaining stuff. I can't say that enough, honestly. And Mike, any closing thoughts?
Nope, that's it. If you haven't subscribed yet and you like the video, make sure you're hitting the subscribe button. That goes a long way. Leave a comment. Tell us what parts you liked. Leave a comment saying whose pick you liked the most for the Champions League, and maybe leave your top 5 pick. We want to hear from you guys as well, not just our picks. But yeah, thanks a lot to Dan and Sean for coming on. Dan, it's really nice to have a soccer expert on. Sean, it's really nice to really nice of you to be here. That's all I can say.
Me up, man.
No, we appreciate you guys.
And Mike, as much as I'm a soccer fan, I would say I'm even deeper baseball fan. So if you ever have a topic on that, I'd love to rejoin and link up.
Absolutely.
That could be a possible upcoming topic, you know, with the situation they've got going on with trying to restart play. So absolutely. But yeah, listen, guys, everybody who listens and tunes in, thank you guys so much again. Every listen, every share goes a long way. It means a lot to the All In Network.
Didn't you say you got listeners out in Ireland?
Yep. We got listeners everywhere, man. I think we got listeners in Syria too.
Bro, shout out to Ireland listeners, man. Yeah. Putting on.
shout out to everybody listening all across the world. So again, thank you guys for going all in for us. This is the All In Podcast. Have a great night.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.